Father, I thank you again as we share the word of God. We know that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Cause that light, Lord, to shine. Thou who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, cause that light to shine in our hearts this morning, to give understanding and revelation. And be a lifter upper for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, so welcome everybody. So for the last, for a couple of times, in the last few days, we've talked about some things, that the enemy will throw at us, try to get us off our game plan. We talked about several things, We started off with fear and anxiety. We talked about unbelief and doubt. Talked about disobedience and rebellion. We talked about pride and arrogance, confusion and perplexity, discouragement and disappointment. Lately, we've talked about fatigue and weariness, sicknesses and diseases, terror and oppression. And then we've talked about heavy burdens and evil yokes. Well, I want to do a quick review on this couple of scriptures here that will call out. These are four things that I want to review here this morning. Those will be, bands of wickedness, heavy burdens, oppressing spirits, and all kinds of evil yokes. We talked about these over the last few days, but I want to do a quick review, and I want us to talk about this some more. All right, so first off, we see in the book of Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 6, we see the Lord talking about this and saying, look, what he wants us to do, especially when we fast, is to, break the bands of wickedness, to unloose the heavy burdens, to set the oppressed free, and that we break every yoke. So what are the bands of wickedness? We've talked a lot about heavy burdens. And, oppression, and also yokes, all kinds of evil yokes. Now, remember the vision of Zechariah that the Lord showed him when he was looking and he saw four horns, he said. Zechariah 1 and 18. Then I lifted up my eyes and saw, and behold, four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, what are these? And he answered me and said, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. And then again, the Lord now showed him four carpenters. And he said, what do these come to do? And the angel said unto me, these are the horns. These four things you saw at first, they are the horns that have scattered Judah so that no man lift up their head. But these ones have come to free them to cast out those horns. So horns are like, spiritual powers or even powers. And I want to talk about these four horns a little more today. Bands of wickedness, that's number one. Heavy burdens, number two. Oppression and oppressing spirits, number three. And all kinds of evil yokes, number four. And the Lord gave four carpenters, which I call the carpenter's anointing or the breaker's anointing, to combat these things, these motions of the devil to batter down the people of God. Well, God has an answer. And what is the way that the Lord puts his answer out? He said, well, in Luke chapter 11, verses 21 and 22, Jesus was talking here and said, look, you know, when you have a strong man that keeps his goods, right? Yeah, everything he thinks is in peace, in his palace and so forth. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, then he take away from him all his armor in which he trusted and then divided his spoils. So we see that I call that spoiling the spoiler. You know, the spoiler was the one that had everything sitting pretty initially, he thought, you know. But then another one stronger than he come upon him and binds him and take away his armor, you know, and so forth. So the devil was the original spoiler. But Christ came to spoil the spoiler, and through the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which we have with us today, we can also spoil his works. Bands of wickedness. Let's talk about it. You know, I mean, you wonder why wicked things happen in this world. But there's all kinds of wickedness. You know, wickedness, the spirits of wickedness get into people to do wicked things. They take up guns and go shoot up a mall, shoot up a school. You know, they get drunk and drive down the road at, in, you know, horrible speeds to slam into somebody, to kill somebody. You know, even the devil operates, you know, through his demonic powers in other ways too. And people are driving down the road, you know, suddenly their tire busts and the car goes into a spin. They get into a crash. I mean, intent is kill as many people as possible. And people are driving down the road. There's a, you know, in this country, the United States, God bless the United States. You know, the generally everywhere you go, there's traffic lights that work. Well, demonic powers will sometimes affect those traffic lights. You know, it's called wickedness. You know, when those things go out of order, people don't know what to do, slam into one another. I mean, all kinds of things that the enemy can bring. In fact, the enemy can stir up a storm, slam into, you know, cities and so forth, and try to wipe them away, you know, and all that. So there's all kinds of bands of wickedness. And then there's wickedness even in the natural realm, which we have talked about, like people taking up a gun, doing this and that. And then, you know, we've talked quite a bit, as you know, about heavy burdens. And many of us have suffered these heavy burdens from time to time. It's the tactic of the enemy, and still it is today, to laden us with many things that will take away our leisure, or our time, our ability to do other things. So it's most especially to serve the Lord, you know, in a way that we wanted to. And the, you know, these burdens are there. Take away our joy, take away our time, suffocate us with all kinds of things. That's the plan of the enemy, plan of Pharaoh, Exodus 5. We gave these scriptures. I'm just going to give a quick review. Exodus 5, verses 5 to 9 reveals, you know, some insight into Pharaoh's plan and the way the devil is still doing it today. Lay more heavy burdens on the people so that they won't have time to worship the Lord. You know, let there be more work laden upon them, you know, more burdens, more bills, more, you know, challenges, you know, come against them with different things, accident, illness, sicknesses, you know, all kinds of problems, problems with their job, problems on their, you know, with their school, with their students, problems with their children, problems with their grandchildren. I mean, just bring all these things against them so they won't have time. Well, you know, those are the heavy burdens. And then, of course, you know, we see the oppressing spirits and oppression. And unfortunately, even believers are subject to these at times. You know, We're not talking about demon possession. We're talking about oppression. Oppress the minds of the people. You know, you just come on, you know, come on people at times. And, you know, your mind is on things that they don't need to be. And you oppress your mind. And then you begin to think of various things and so on. The devil will take advantage of the evil thoughts, you know, to bring oppression, to oppress your mind. Your mind's supposed to be free and at liberty to serve the Lord, to bring all these things. And then oppressing spirits operate also even in this, you know, spirit of infirmity and so forth, oppress the people, you know, because we're told in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So we see that sicknesses and diseases can also be an oppression of the devil. That's why Jesus was healing those that were oppressed of the devil. So this verse in Acts 10:38 also reveals to us that all of those things are also oppressions of the devil. Now, and then, of course, you have all kinds of yokes that the devil will bring on people. You know, chain you down to things that you should not even be, you know, involved with, so that you can't go to the left, you can't go to the right, you can't get your liberty, you can't get your freedom. We've talked about all these things. This one is more just of a review, you know. But what does the Lord do for us to get us out of this? Well, we see it in, you know, Isaiah 58 verse 6, first of all, that we ourselves are supposed to get engaged in the deliverance and in the setting of people free, in the breaking of these yokes, dismissing these bands of wickedness. And we can do that. And the anointing of the Lord comes to do that for us. Isaiah 61, we cover this. Isaiah 51, verse, the first few verses talk about the anointing of the Lord that breaks these yokes. You know, Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, again talks about these yokes will be broken. And these things, because of the anointing of the Lord. And we talked about, you know, the Lord giving us victory, I mean, through, you know, the rest that he offers us. He gave us in Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30, you know, Jesus said, look, I want to unloose your heavy burdens. You know, come unto me and I will give you rest. Praise the Lord. Now, Isaiah chapter 14, verses 24 to 25, you know, also talks about, you know, God giving us relief, you know, over these burdens. You know, how the enemy puts these things on people. Now, hallelujah. But the Lord said, look, I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains will I tread him underfoot, and then his yoke shall depart from off of you, and his burden shall be broken from your shoulders. So the Lord, that's a promise that he gave, you know, and setting the captives free. We talked about, you know, Isaiah 49. And verse 25, it said, look, even the captives of the mighty shall be set free. Sometimes we even get into situations, you know, because of lack of wisdom or whatever it is. It may be a direct attack, maybe lack of wisdom. Devil may take advantage of it, you know. But nonetheless, he said, look, you know, the prey will be taken from the mighty and the lawful captive. Be delivered. That's when you go put your neck into something which you shouldn't have. And then the Lord said, he will deliver you anyway. Even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contended with you, and I will save your children. Mm-hmm. So we see all of these things in the scriptures. Now, breaking yokes, of course, all these things can be called yokes. You put them all together. Bands of wickedness, heavy burdens, oppressions. They are all yokes. A yoke is a thing that, put upon the necks, usually of, animals of burden that are used to plow the fields and so forth. But then again, it can be to put somebody in the stocks, to put them, to shackle them together so they don't can't turn from one way to another, But the Lord, he said he will break. In fact, he said he has done it. Leviticus 26 and 13, the Lord said, look, I am the one that brought you out of the land of bondage, and I set you free and I caused you to go upright. I don't want you to be their bondmen again. So the Lord has already given us the victory. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt. You can call that the land of bondage, that you should not be their bondmen. I have broken the bands of your yoke, made you to go upright. So you see, bands, yokes, burdens, they're all linked together. And the Lord said he has given us the victory. What about sicknesses and diseases? The devil will take advantage of all kinds, any way, which way you can get it. Put sickness and disease upon the people. We talked about that. That doesn't come from God. That comes from the devil. And the Lord said, look, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I will not put any of these things upon you. Exodus 15 and 26 talks about the Lord healing us, not putting these diseases on us. That's a popular verse that we all know. Deuteronomy 7 verse 15. I hope this is another one that we know as well. The Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of these evil diseases on of Egypt upon you. So it's not from the Lord. It is from the devil. Remember the prophecy of Isaiah. In Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 5. The things that Christ would do, for us. Isaiah prophesied it, and of course Christ fulfilled it. He said, surely, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities and so on and so forth. And has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All the things that Christ suffered were to bring us peace, to bring us healing, and to bring us redemption. So, Christ already paid the price. He said it is finished on the cross. And the Lord, says again in Psalm 107 verses 15 and 16. This is from the psalmist. It's the spirit of prophecy. They say the people should praise the Lord because of what God has already done. Oh, that man should praise the Lord, for his goodness, for his mercies to the sons of men. For he has broken, he's already done it, the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. So the Lord has already done that. And many other things you can read, or listen to the replays. This is just a quick recap of all the things that we have talked about over the last several days. I want to read something to you from Zephaniah chapter 3. We read this also, during this whole series that we've been. And I want to read it again. It's a good one. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 14. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath taken away thy judgments, cast out thine enemy. Now, the king of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. So the Lord actually acknowledges the evil that had come. But he's promising us, deliverance. You will not see evil anymore. Indicates that you've seen some evil. In that day shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thy hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, and he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his law. Hallelujah. And he will joy over thee with singing. What a beautiful song that is. We used to sing that The Lord said, I will gather them that are sorrowful and bring them for the solemn assembly, you know, and those who have been suffering reproach, and the reproach was a burden to them, you know, I will gather them together. And I will, said, at that time, saith the Lord, I will undo all that afflict you. That's right. You know, everything that has been afflicting you, you know, the enemy has put upon you, the Lord said he will undo them. You know, so this is to acknowledge that, yes, there may be affliction, but the Lord will undo it. Hallelujah. And, you know, everything, you know, he said he will do it. He will bring you even into praise and recognition in the land where you have been put to shame. The Lord said, at that time, I'll bring you again, you know, and cause you to be a name of praise among the people of the earth. Now, turn back your captivity, said the Lord, even before your eyes. I mean, this is a beautiful song and a prophecy of deliverance. Now, it was for Jerusalem and it was for Israel, but it's also for us. You know, so, you know, when you have time, read it again. Zephaniah, you know, chapter 3, read from verse 14 and just read it to the end and see, you know, the blessings and promises of God. What more shall I say? Behold, saith the Lord, ye shall take root downward and bear fruit upward. And ye shall be the branch of my planting, that I may be glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, so it is time for us to understand, you know, the portion and inheritance of our deliverance, and not to put up with any of the things that the enemy will try to put upon us. And he will do it too, you know, because that's what he does. He'll bring all this evil, bring all these oppressing spirits, bring all these heavy burdens, and bring all these yokes. And that's what he does. But the Lord said, I have come that you might have liberty. And remember, John chapter 8, you know, verses 32 and 36 says, you shall know the truth will make you free. And then he turned around again and said, whom the Son shall set free is free indeed. You know, so Jesus doesn't set you free to be entangled with the yoke of bondage again. Set you free, put you at liberty so that you can in turn set others free. Hallelujah. So don't put your neck under the yoke of bondage again. And don't let the devil put it on you. The devil can put it on himself if he wants, but, you know, don't accept it. Stand fast, therefore, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. In the liberty wherein Christ has made us free, and let us not be entangled again with any kind of yoke of bondage. Don't do it now. There's also, religious yokes and so forth that religious leaders put on people. Jesus said it himself. He said, look, you lay all these burdens on people that you yourself cannot even touch with a finger. Yet you put it on people, you know. And these are burdens too difficult to bear. Yet just you put it on them. And, you know, and then you stand apart and you don't do it, but you lay it upon the people. And Jesus said, look, you know, these things that these religious leaders do, you know, call them out. You know, put all kinds of heavy burdens on people that they themselves cannot do. You know, some of these heavy burdens come even in the way of which, I mean, there's some denominations that I've heard, you know, put some kind of taxation upon their members. They call it tithes, but it's more like a taxation because you have to prove that you've paid it. They have to look at your paycheck or your pay slip or validate how much you paid versus how much you earned. I mean, that's like a taxation. You know, taxes, you have to show your income, your W-2 or whatever, and then what you've paid. So when these religious systems do that, it's like a yoke that they themselves cannot do. Put it on the people, you know, and so forth. And there are many other things, you know, that the traditions of men, Jesus called it, you know, that they laid in upon the people. And then, but again, you know, they forsake the real word of God. Jesus said, you guys go and make, you compass land and sea to to make one proselyte. I mean, they'll do everything, you know, chase after you. If you leave, they'll chase after you because they, you know, they want your tithes. I call it taxes that they put upon you. You know, and then they want you, but what is it? You know, all of that is to make them, Jesus said, twice the child of hell. Now, but God gives true liberty to the sons of God. He gives liberty to the children of God. So there are many yokes of every kind. And then Jesus, I mean, the scriptures warn us ourselves also to not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, people think that that's only in marriage. I mean, like husband and wife marry and so forth. You know, yeah, that's there, but that's not the only thing. Many times you can get yoked. I mean, people get so yoked with unbelievers, you know, that, you know, they find themselves, you know, compromising at times, you know. So what kind of relationship do we have with our, you know, unbeliever friends, for instance? You know, I mean, how much are you into them and how much are they into you? Are you able to influence them for delight, or are they able to influence you towards compromise? Let's read this in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And this is also a form of evil yoking. I haven't talked about this in the past series, but I'm bringing it now. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Why does he call unequal yoke? You know, because you can never be equal. When you are yoked together with unbelievers, either in business, either in friendship, either in marriage, in whatever it is, you know, it's unequal. It, because you are in the light, they are in the dark, and it's not going to work. Here's what he says. He said, look, what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? And what part is he that believeth with someone that doesn't believe? You know, so something, there's a lot of people that may be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And be careful now. It's a commandment. It's a commandment. You may say in your heart, some may say, well, you know, they're my friends and I'm trying to win them to for the Lord. And that's good. But win them for the Lord. Make sure they don't win you over into the ways of the world. Now, what agreement are the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. So as he has said, I will dwell in them, walk in them. They should be, I'll be their God and be my people. Wherefore, come out, he said, from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I'll be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Almighty God. So this is, you know, another form of yoking, you know, which actually people put upon themselves. You know, now, does that mean that you should not talk to anyone or have any relationship with anyone that is not a believer? Oh, absolutely not. In fact, they called Jesus the friend of sinners. They called him, they even, you know, mocked him and so forth about that. But Jesus, you know, Jesus was on a mission. He was on a mission. It wasn't just about, he said, look, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so he was on a mission. If you are on a mission with your unsaved friends, well, that's good. If you are on a mission with your unsaved family members and so forth, that's a good thing, you know, but be careful now. You know, you may even be, you know, now why does he call yoke here? Yoke is something you can't get out of easily. You know, it's not just talking about, oh, don't be in a relationship. Well, then he would have said the relationship. He's talking, yoke here is something that is not easy to get out of. You get yourself into a bind, enter into, you know, covenant, you know, relationship, either in business or some other thing with people on the dark side, you know, and the Lord said, and even some people enter into some relationships with some religious organizations, so-called churches, you know, but they're not following the truth. And the Bible said, come out from among them, come out from among them and be not you know, and be ye separate, he said, and be not partakers of their evil ways. You know, so, you know, that's another form of yoke, you know, and it is time for us to de-yoke, if I can use that verb, unyoke or de-yoke yourself from things that, you know, are trying to get you off the right track. Praise the Lord. You know, so, in the book of Revelation chapter 18 and verse 4, there is also a commandment, although this one has a different background, but it says, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins and that ye receive not of her plagues, you know, and so on. So, you know, there's a time when you got to break, you know. Isaiah 52 and verse 2, he said, look, shake thyself from the dust. Loose thyself from the bands around your neck, which is a yoke. If you have put your neck into, you know, some kind of a yoke that you shouldn't be in, the Holy Spirit will be talking to you. If you don't listen, enough time passes, your heart is seared. You can't, you know, hear the Holy Spirit anymore. Be sick, get out of that, you know, get out of it, you know, and so forth. It's not going to work, you know, it won't be unequally yoked. I'm not talking about marriage at all today, you know, when people only talk about marriage when they talk about these things, you know, but even if it is marriage, you know, don't go into marriage or relationship with someone that is on the other side. Now, some people find themselves in that relationship, and that's a different story. Paul addressed that also. I mean, if you are already married to an unbeliever before you got saved, that's a different situation. We're not talking about that here. But we're talking about you having your eyes wide open and you go and put your neck into something that doesn't belong. I mean, so people are looking for relationships, and then you let somebody smooth talk you into something when you know that they are not in the light. What's up with that? You know, God has something good for you. I mean, you trust the Lord. He'll bring the right person to your life. Don't shack yourself up with people who are in the dark or in the darkness. What communion has light with darkness? You want to be in the light? You want to walk in the light with the Lord? Then get away from things of darkness. Praise the Lord. You know, when you have decisions to make the right decisions and so forth, you know. So there are all kinds of yokes. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on that, but, you know, you get the point. So today, consider what the Lord is saying. Now, Christ has given us liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Christ has given us liberty. You know, so let's walk in that liberty. Now, there are many things that can be avoided through, you know, strong, effectual prayer. And, you know, I want to call and challenge people to pray more. Don't just think that, you know, these things will just bypass you. There will be no burdens. There will be no afflictions. There will be no bands of wickedness. There will be no evil yokes. You know, all these things. They will be. The devil will always try that. You got to be more prayerful. You know, so, you know, in the morning, you can get up and pray. In the night, pray during the day. Pray for yourself. Pray for your family. You know, if we pray more, chances are, you know, we will avoid more things. You may not be able to avoid them all, you know, because these things do happen. But, you know, prayer can help us pull us out of jams, or even the Lord can help you to avoid many things. We read the story, and I alluded to this briefly during these past few days. We read the story in Acts chapter 12, how Herod got a hold of James, the brother of John, and killed him. You know, that was before the saints even knew anything. You know, and so stuff like that can happen. But once he got their attention, they went into prayer. You know, and, you know, he was thinking to do the same thing to Peter, but through the prayers of the saints, Peter was delivered. So you can see how powerful prayer can be. You know, now I don't know how, what happened, why, you know, Herod was able to kill the James without anybody else knowing? Because you might say, well, why didn't everybody know about that? Well, maybe they did, maybe they didn't, but it happened. So these things are in the scriptures. But once bitten, people say twice shy, you know, don't stay there and then let the devil have a field day. You know, get up in prayer, you know, get up, you know, engage in prayer, you know, prayer for yourself, prayer over, you know, Jesus, one time they said, teach us how to pray. And among the things that he said, deliver us from evil. So the Lord himself knows that there's evil all around us. And we must pray, you know, to be delivered from all evil. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. The Lord gave me this scripture a few days ago. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work. Well, pray. You can declare it, but pray it as well. You know, declare it and pray it. Declare it and pray it. Declare it and pray it. And he will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be praise and glory forever. So we're praying these things and so forth. Let's be prayed up. Hallelujah. That's another powerful antidote to all these things we've been talking about. Be prayed up so that you will not panic in the face of, you know, a trouble. The disciples panicked when the storm came upon them in the boat because they were not prayed up like Christ. Christ was prayed up early in the morning and so forth. He would be wake up early before everybody else, be in the mountain. When the disciples got up, they'd be looking for him, you know, and, well, while Jesus was fasting and so forth, they were eating. And they were happy that Jesus was even defending them. Because the Pharisees say, well, look, why do these, you know, disciples of John fast and our disciples fast, but your disciples eat and party all the time? And Jesus said, well, leave them alone. You know, they are children of the bride chamber and they cannot fast as long as the bridegroom is with them. But the days are coming, the Lord said, that they will fast. When the bridegroom shall be taken from them, in those days they shall fast. Well, disciples were happy when Jesus was defending them, but there is a backlash to everything that is, you know, you're not doing right. The backlash was, you know, they did not have the courage and the stamina, you know, to, you know, withstand some of the evil. And in the day of trouble, when Christ's trouble came, they all deserted him, you know, and Jesus was telling them, pray, pray, that you enter not into temptation, no? Rather than praying, they were sleeping. Yeah. So, you can see the benefit of prayer. The fervent effectual prayer availeth much. Now, let's read Revelation 12, 11, and I'm going to close my today's exhortation with this, and then let's all talk about it some more. We didn't do a good enough review on these topics, so I wanted, yesterday should have been our review day, but we used it for praising the Lord. And that's good. That's a good thing. So I wanted to do this kind of a review today. So Revelation 12, 11, many tools God gave us by which we can, you know, battle and win. Ephesians chapter 6, you know, verses 10 to the end, talk about the weapons of our war. I mean, putting on the whole armor of God, all kinds of things you got to clad yourself with, you know. You know, and we know that, you know, the Lord has told us that, look, we're not fighting human beings and flesh and blood and so forth. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Say, we do not fight after the flesh, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Are your weapons actually mighty? I mean, do you have the ability to pull down strongholds? Well, yeah, through prayer and consecrated fasting sometimes. You know, Jesus, some things that Jesus said, look, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. There's some demon spirits that, you know, some satanic altars, they won't get out of there easily except by prayer and fasting. You know, so if we don't live that prayer and fasted life, we may have a lot of challenges. We may have a lot of challenges. They said, oh, why couldn't we cast it out? Cast him out. Well, Jesus said, because of your unbelief. And we say, well, nevertheless, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Matthew 17 and verse 21. You know, so prayer is so key. you know, in bringing these tools together. But let's look at some of these tools. Some of them are in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. But I want to focus on Revelation 12, 11. But let me quickly point out, you know, some of the, you know, armor that we're supposed to put on in Ephesians chapter 6. Many people know these things. Then if you do it, if you know it, well, say happy are ye. If you know these things, that happy are ye when you do them. Well, if you know it, then do it. Put on these things then. Put on, therefore, elect of God as, you know, children of God, bearers of mercies and all these things. And put on, you know, Paul, when he was writing some of these things, he was in prison. He was looking at how those Roman soldiers do their get on, you know, when they want to strap on, you know. Suit on, you know, sometimes you have to suit up. So when it is time to suit up, you know, here is what they do. You know, he said, look, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that's that wickedness we've been talking about. You know, what does wrestling mean? Well, you get into a real wrestling match. It's not a small thing, you know, it's a back and forth and so on. But he's saying, look, it's not flesh and blood, really, that we're fighting. Principalities and powers. So even the scripture acknowledges that there are darkness, I mean, the powers of darkness, they're out there. You know, if you think that, oh, well, there's no power out there, well, think again. There are powers of darkness, but we don't glorify them because Christ has made an open show of principalities and powers. And he has just, destroyed them. You know, the devil, remember, we said the devil has been, you know, disgraced, he's been dethroned, he's been disarmed, he's been defeated, and he's been destroyed. But if we don't know, then we won't know. And the devil will try to always come back and twist things up, take advantage of our lack of knowledge. You know, but when you put on the whole armor of God, these are the things that will allow you to do, be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. Now, truth is a powerful, because Jesus said it himself, John 8 and 32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, if you don't know the truth, it's not going to make you free. So, you got to know the truth. Truth, you know, it's like the girdle or belt you wear around your waist. You know it. You put your around your feet, the preparation of the gospel of peace. Winning souls, evangelizing, speaking the word of God, bearing good news is a powerful weapon too. Keeps you on your toes. That's right. That's why I call the feet, you know, you're shod with the preparation of, it's like wearing your shoes, keep you on your toes. You know, and these things, you know, you put on a breastplate of righteousness. Ah, the righteousness of Christ that he got for us. He was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We got it too. Praise the Lord. And righteousness is right standing with the Lord, doing things the way of the Lord, not your way or the way of the world. You know, we talked about, you know, we've talked about obedience. And we're talking about obedience. We talked about active obedience and passive obedience. You know, we've talked about those things. You know, 1 John 3 and 22 brings it out clearly. You know, the way we, you know, get victory and get things from the Lord, we got to have active obedience and also, you know, passive obedience. Active obedience is we do his commandments. You know, that's active obedience. Well, what about passive? Well, passive is we do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Hallelujah. So let's read verses 21 and 22 of 1 John chapter 3. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments. That's actively keeping the commandments of God. And we do those things which are pleasing in his sight. That's passive. Passive obedience is, there may not be a point blank commandment that God has given, but you do what you know pleases him. That's righteousness, not just doing whatever we want. So going back to, you know, and then he said here, he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him and he in him vice versa. You know, so going back to these weapons quickly, Ephesians, I'm going to come back to Revelation 12, 11, but let me finish this Ephesians 6. Going back to this Ephesians 6 real quickly, we see, you know, all of top to bottom, all the things that the Roman soldiers are putting on. Paul's describing them here. And then, you know, we've talked about the breastplate of righteousness. We've talked about the girdle, the things they put on there, and so forth. And, you know, we talked about, and he said, look, above all, you know, taking on the, shield of faith, you know, and I love that shield of faith, you know, he said, look, above all. So no matter, you know, even this shield of faith is number one. He said, because by it, above all, you can quench all the fiery darts of the enemy, which is what we've been talking about in this series. You've got to have faith to do it. And you take that faith, you quench all the fiery darts of the enemy, and then you take the helmet of salvation. You got, you know, salvation. You know, you are assured of your salvation. Praise God. You put that on your head, and you take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You know, you're not always playing defense. You know, sometimes you're going on offense too. Some people say the best defense sometimes is a good offense. Well, sometimes you got to get in there and engage, you know, praise God, you know, and you do it through prayer. And I'm going to talk about, you know, that in a bit more in about a few minutes when I get back to Revelation 12, you know, and then you take on prayer as well. Say prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You know, so prayer. Pray for yourself, pray for your family, pray for the brethren. Prayer. Hallelujah. So these are all the things that we must use. Now, Revelation 12, 11. I'm trying to hurry and finish this. Revelation 12, 11. How did they overcome the devil? These are the tools of your victory. Well, he showed about, you know, the devil getting into war, the devil and his angels, you know, getting into war. Michael and his angels on the other side also engaged. You know, there's no running away from the devil. You got to engage and kick him out. You know, so they engaged and they kicked him out of heaven and so forth. And, you know, when he went to the earth, knowing that he had great wrath and so forth to fight all the, you know, leftovers. That's right. Though some people already escaped, devil come out against the rest. Well, in any case, the accuser of our brethren is cast down, he said, which accused them before God day and night. How did they overcome him? Well, Revelation 12, 11. Let's take a look at this quickly. They overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. It doesn't tell us what that means, but just consider that for a minute. And they also overcame him by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Let's look at these three elements, you know, which are part of how we get our victory. The blood of the Lamb. What does the blood of Christ do? Well, you know, what was the thing that Christ did for us? I mean, almost all things are purged by blood, we're told, according to all the things they did in the Old Testament. And Jesus himself knew this, so he had to shed his blood, you know, for our cleansing. Why? You know, because according to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, we are told that almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. You know, so the blood of Christ is what gives us remission. And he made peace for us through the blood of his cross. He shed that cross blood for us. He got us the victory. So you use that. We also see in the story in Exodus when they were about to get out of Egypt, when God brought the last plague, we saw that it was the emblem or the sign or a type of the blood of Christ that saved everybody. They were told to kill a lamb without blemish and put the blood on the doorpost. And that is what caused the angel of death to pass over. So we see that, you know, with all those understandings, if you use the blood of Jesus right, you can have the victory. We have heard people in the demonic realm, talk about they can't stand it when people start to, you know, use the blood of Jesus. And I remember as a young man, 40 or so years ago, or even more, you know, maybe 50 years ago, coming into the deliverance ministry at the first, you know, all we needed to do then was to begin to what we call pleading the blood of Jesus. We just say, plead the blood of Jesus, plead the blood of Jesus, plead the blood of Jesus. And the moment you did that, you know, all these devils begin to react and so on. And we've heard people from the dark world and even people, you know, that are bound by demonic things, you know, speak and testify about the blood of Jesus, what he does, you know, when they hear it and so forth. You know, so we use the blood. You cover yourself with the blood. First of all, the main thing where we are covered with is our iniquities. That's right. Praise God. Cover, the Lord has covered. We don't hide our iniquities. We confess our iniquities, but the Lord covered them under the blood. That's right. That's what the Lord said. He said, look, you know, the east is far from the west. So far have I removed our transgressions from us. And the blood of Christ is what, but he said the blood of goats and bulls could not do the job. So Christ came and did it for himself, you know. And there is a blessedness that comes from someone whose sin is covered by the blood. Not because he had a sin, but is covered, you know, by the blood. Praise the Lord. You know, so this is what he said. The psalmist said in Psalm 32, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. That's right. You know, blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, because the Lord has covered, you know, covered it with his blood. Now, the blood of the New Testament was more powerful than goats and bulls. Hebrews tells us that. So when you use the blood, you come before the Lord with the blood, you know, your sins are forgiven. Because the devil will try to tell you that your sins are not forgiven. Well, you use that blood. You use the blood to protect your family. You use the blood every which way, you know, because the Bible says you overcome the devil by the blood of Jesus. So when you speak the blood of Jesus, well, the blood of Jesus himself actually speaks too. But we're told that he speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Well, so the blood of Abel was crying out from the ground. The blood of Jesus Christ was even from the sanctuary. Hallelujah. Because Jesus, we're told that he entered with his own blood. Those high priests in the old days used to enter with the blood of others, goats and bulls and things. But Christ, you know, entered with his own blood once and for all. Hallelujah. So the blood of Jesus is speaking, you know, for us, even from the sanctuary. So you got to use, you know, you got to use the blood. Use the blood to cover yourself. Use the blood to cover your family. Use the blood to gain access. You know, this is the blood, you know, the blood is also what gives us, you know, access, you know, to all the things of God. Look, you know, then let's see what, you know, compare Christ to what all the others did. You know, we're told that he offered, you know, himself once and for all in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, by the which we were sanctified by the offering of the body of Christ once and for all. Now, every priest, Hebrews 10, 11, you know, ministering and offering sacrifices and so forth, which could never take away sin. But this man, after he offered one sacrifice, you know, one, he sat down. So compare, you know, priests are not allowed to sit down. They don't sit down. They stand. That's what he says. He said, every priest standeth daily ministering. So they don't sit down. They stand. When they sit down, it means their job is done. Those other ones, their job was never done. So they were always standing. But Christ, when he did it, he sat down. Hallelujah. He now sat down at the right hand of God, expecting from his enemies thenceforth to be made his footstool. Now, verse 14 of Hebrews 10. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. You know, so That's how Christ did it. And so his blood is still speaking to us, even from the sanctuary. And he goes on to say here in verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. So look, through the blood of Jesus, you can come even into the boldness, into the holiest of holiest, which is where we're headed to. You know, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us, you know, and so on and so forth. So, you know, there's more to be told from this book of Hebrews. We covered it quite a bit a year or more ago when we did the study of the book of Hebrews. But use that blood all those ways. And then the word of your testimony. We've spoken about how you should use the word of your testimony, which is basically confession of what you believe God has done for you before you actually see it. That's right. It gives you, it's what is part of your tools to get the victory. You know, there's three things that he said in that Revelation 12:11. The blood of Christ, the word of your testimony, and not being afraid of death. You know, and this fear of death, according to Hebrews 2:14, have put some people in bondage all their lives. You know, they're in bondage because they're afraid. You know, they're afraid. They're afraid. The devil just put them in bondage. But Christ died, we're told, you know, that through his death, he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. And did he do it? Did he destroy the devil? Absolutely. You know, and deliver them who through the fear of death all their lifetime were subject to bondage. Hebrews 2:14-15. So, we're no longer supposed to be afraid of death. If you're not afraid of death, you're bold as a lion. Devil can't use that over you. And these three tools are powerful. And, you know, it's all by prayer. Put on the girdle of the garment of prayer. You pray, you use the blood of Jesus. You confess, you pray, you confess your testimony, the word of God. You know, you confess, you know, the life that Christ has given us. And you confess your courage in the Lord. Say, be bold and courageous. Be not afraid. For the Lord thy God is he that doth go with you. Well, that's my wrap up of, four horns and different things that devil will bring against us from time to time. There will be three more topics in this series that I want to do before the series is over. We're going to be talking about failures and losses and how God will give us success and celebrations instead. We're going to be talking about sorrow and mourning and how God will give us gladness and joy instead. And lastly, we're going to be talking about, stagnation is what I call it, and slumber, you know, sluggishness and so forth, lack of progress. And what the Lord gave us for that, he said, go forward and emerge. So these things are coming. Over the next week or so, I will go into those topics and that should round up this series. And when we are done, by the grace of God, I will republish that writing and document I posted December 31 last year. So we're about to cross over. Because I've added many more scriptures. I wrote those things very quickly during that one day because I wanted to get it out. But, you know, I've added more scriptures since then. So I'll be posting a revision of that article on our WhatsApp platform. Well, I'm going to pray over the room now and encourage you to, get into a life of prayer. Get into a life of fasting as well. Get in a life of speaking the word of God, you know, and so on. And get in a life of walking in liberty. You know, let the devil put anything over you. Yeah, just don't take it. Praise the Lord. He can put it upon himself if he wants to, but not you. You cast the devil out and you also command him to not return. Some people cast out devils, but they don't tell him to not return. And so he'll come back. You know, you've got to give him leave, you know, tell him to take his leave, show him the road, tell him to get stepping and don't come back. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then we use the elements of the blood of Jesus daily for protection. So let me pray over the room and I'll yield it for discussions. Praise God. Father, I thank you for the power that is in the blood. Hallelujah. That power brings us redemption. Brings us, washing of regeneration. Brings us cleansing from our sins. Jesus entered into the holy place once and for all by his own blood, not with the blood of goats and bulls. And he did it once for us, forever. Now he makes intercession for us. Thank you, Lord, for the grace to understand that. And again, Lord, we thank you for the word of our testimony. Any part of this scripture that we can get a hold of at any time can become our testimony. Any of the promises of God that are in the scriptures can become your testimony, even ahead of receiving that very thing. You begin to speak it and confess it. Father, teach us these things in the name of Jesus. Let us think no evil, or speak no evil, but speak only the word of God. Declare what God has already said. That's a powerful, powerful tool. And then again, they love not their lives unto the death. So, Father, show us, Lord, how to do that. How Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego did not love their lives unto death. They did not back down even in the face of death. They were not afraid of death. And so it was a powerful, powerful tool. And we see, Lord, that if we can, get rid of that fear, the devil has lost a great deal. More than a third of his ability over us, to keep us in fear all the time. So, Lord, we thank you for the boldness that coming upon the children of God. We're not afraid. Devil cannot put us through that because Christ has abolished death and brought immortality and life, to life through the gospel and so on. So thank you, Father, for this exhortation to us today. And as we continue the rest of the room sharing with one another, let the Spirit of God guide the utterances that will come forth in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.